The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
About knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak tonight on the Holy Spirit and regeneration. The Holy Spirit and regeneration. There is no better example of that than you'll find in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dostest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at, if you will, in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, now here's a man that's wealthy. Here's a man that knows how to be able to do things. But yet here's a man that lacks a spiritual insight when it comes to being born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, and by the way, Jesus always has the answer. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So born physically and of the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit. It says, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, that's your physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, notice the significance of how it's spelled. That which is born of the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, watch it, ye must be born again. Now, let me say this, if I may. You're only born again, birthed into the family of God, one time. The Bible does not say you must be born again and again and again. So it's not a perpetual state of being. It is a one-time birth into the family of God. If a person needed to be born again and again and again, the Holy Spirit, yea, God himself, would have made sure that it was written in the Bible, and he would tell you exactly what you needed to do in order to be born again, again, and again. And you ought to thank God tonight that you only have to be born again one time, and you're completely forgiven and accepted into the family of God. Now, in order to understand regeneration, I think we need to closely examine what the Bible has to say. I think perhaps today, more grossly is it misunderstood than carefully understood. I think sometimes today people use the term born again loosely because they themselves have never experienced such a birth. Politicians and statements often say this. These statesmen and these politicians will say, well, I'm born again, and then they turn around as they drink their alcoholic beverages and they practice their sensual dancing. Athletes say, I'm born again, and the very next breath they're uttering out curse words and signing up to be interviewed by pornographic magazines. Entertainers, they talk about being born again as they are in the lewd nightclubs and as they're profanely talking about God. Sinners claim to be born again, and yet they put on rock concerts that prove to be very indecent for anyone of a sound mind to be able to attend. So I think as believers, you and I ought to take a sane look, an in-depth look, as to what it means to be scripturally born again. And what does it mean to be born again and understand how the Holy Spirit plays a role in such an event or activity? Statement number one, being born again is a work of the Holy Spirit. Being born again is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." The word again comes from a little Greek forming of words that is talking about from the first or from the beginning. Well, how is that true? Well, we understand that the Trinity was involved in everything that is today. He was involved being a part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit that is, at the very conception, if you would please, or establishment, or that which is giving of the earth and all the contents thereof. Genesis makes it clear. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness." So when God created that which is man, man was created in that which is the image of the Trinity. In regeneration, you'll see that there's three that's involved in the Trinity. You'll see that there's God the Father, the creator of all truth. Without truth, nobody can be born again. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If a person does not come to God through Jesus Christ, they can never experience the rebirth. They can never experience the new birth. They can never be born again. All right, so we see that God the Father, the creator of all truth, is a part of that which is salvation. God the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Without a Savior, there could be no born again. There could be no new birth. There could be no believers. The Holy Spirit is the one that does all the convicting and all the convincing and all the converting. Oh, but you say, "Pastor, you don't understand. If that be true, why is there a need for soul winners?" Because it's the Word of God that's the tool that God uses whereby a person can understand the truth. How can they hear without a preacher? So somebody has to go. Somebody has to tell. "Oh, but I think they'll get saved by my lifestyle." How many people have you seen get saved by your lifestyle? Normally it's not that way. Without the Word of God, there can be no conviction. But with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit using the Word of God, there is a conviction. All right? And so we understand this. It means, if you will, being born, if you will, in you. The Holy Spirit, if you will, is the one that converts the man. He makes man, if you will, a new creature. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13 tells us this, who the beginning is. Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So Jesus was in the beginning, the Holy Spirit in the beginning, God the Father in the beginning. So when a person gets born again, it is a beginning born in them. I'll explain. Statement number X. When you become a born-again believer, or when you become born again, God gave you the Holy Spirit. Now, before salvation, you're dead. I'm dead in trespasses and sin. There's no way that an unsaved person can be able to understand spiritual application of the Bible. They can understand sentences. They can understand stories. They can understand teachings, but not the spiritual understanding of the Bible. Facts? Yes. Places? Yes. Names? Yes. Events? Yes. But the Bible says that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. So before salvation, a person is dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." The word quickened simply means made alive. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." All right? And so we understand this. We understand that it's by the mercy of God, that's the withholding the judgment of God, and the grace of God that is giving man what he does not rightfully deserve or earn. Because of the mercy of God, I do not go to hell. Because of the grace of God, I get the privilege to go to heaven. We understand, according to the scriptures, that before salvation, a person is dead in trespasses and sin. A lost person would come to church, sit there, the preacher gets up, he may be red hot, he may be hitting the pulpit, he may be spitting on the first three sections of the pews that's sitting in front of him, but they just do not get it. Why? Because they're dead in trespasses and sin. Okay? And if they choose to abide in sin, that is not giving the Holy Spirit that which is a opening in their heart, not paying attention, playing on a cell phone, paying attention to somebody else, walking in that which is the flesh, then they never will get born again. There has to be a way for somebody to come to church and somebody to open their heart and say, I'm willing to listen to what God has to say. When you open your heart to the Bible, now the Holy Spirit has a tool. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and they were not paying attention? Have you ever done that? You witness to them and they're whistling Dixie. They're singing a song. They're drinking a beer. They're cursing out their wife the whole time you're trying to witness to them. They're watching the airplanes fly above, the trains go behind. The sirens going off has their attention. Now, unless that person gives a hearing to truth and understand that they're a sinner undone, they could never be saved. They have to understand who they are in light of Bible truth. I submit to you, there's many people that walk an aisle and they do something religious. How many times do I and you both go out soul winning and we talk to somebody and say, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? And here's what they say, placing the emphasis on what they say. Yes, I've been baptized. Now, why do they place an emphasis on the baptism? Because of the fact that was what was emphasized in that particular gathering or church. Now, we understand this. We understand Jesus here in the beginning. When a person gets saved, it is a new beginning for them. Why? Because the beginning has now been birthed inside of them. All right? So being born again is a work of the Holy Spirit. Statement number two, I said that you were born again. When you were born again, God gave you the Holy Spirit. The Bible gives evidence of that, that at salvation, God gives you the Holy Spirit. Book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, the Bible says, but if the Spirit, now that's capital S, talking about Holy Spirit so that you do not get confused. He says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by, his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The reason you're going to heaven is not because of your goodness. The reason you're going to heaven is because who is in you. When God calls the saints home, you don't go to heaven because you go to church. You go to heaven because you receive Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and the Holy Spirit is going home and he's taking you with him. All right, so at salvation, God quickened your spirit. What did he do? He made it alive. Now, your spirit can identify with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever been in church? Man of God preaches, and all of a sudden, inside of you, inside of your mind, inside of your heart, you're saying, that's right. You never heard that before, but you're saying, I can identify with that. Now, why? Because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit about that which is the Spirit giving you truth. All right, now watch this, if you will. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. All right? So wait a minute. How do we get saved? We get saved to heaven by grace. We get saved from hell by his mercy. You cannot choose to say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Now that I'm saved, I'm going to lose my old nature. I'm going to lose my flesh. It doesn't happen. You will have your old nature, you will have your old flesh all the days of your life. That's why it's a battle between your flesh and God, your flesh and the Holy Spirit, your flesh and Jesus. Your flesh did not want to come to church tonight. Your flesh did not want to read the Bible this morning. Your flesh did not want to listen to somebody get up and ramp and raid or teach or preach for a few minutes. That's not something that any person's flesh wants to do. But when you're saved, the Holy Spirit draws you to that which is truth. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." And the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit again, capitalization there. And the Spirit against the flesh. Watch it. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Inside of you, God says, I want you to do it. 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 The Holy Spirit shows you so. But your flesh says, don't do it. 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 And they're contrary one to the other. There's the pulling. There's the pushing. There's the conflict. All right, statement number next. The new birth is Christ in me. The new birth is Christ in me. It is the one that is in the beginning entering into that one that is today. That's why Paul said this. He said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have no hope of glory if it is not for Christ in me. Being born again is the nature of Christ himself entering into that person. We're born, listen to it now, we are born from the beginning. We have the beginning now born in us. What do you mean, preacher? Statement number next. Beginning, talking about being born again. Think about the beginning. Being born again is the Holy Spirit taking up residence in man. Somebody says, well, I'm a new man. Well, now that doesn't necessarily do the scripture any injustice, but it's not exactly accurate either. What happened was this. The very nature of Christ entered inside of man. He, the new man, the Holy Spirit, if you would please, has entered inside of us. You cannot separate one from the other. Example, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received eternal life. Oftentimes, when I'm out soul winning and I lead somebody to Christ, or in the midst of leading somebody to Christ, I'll pull out my pen and I'll say, let's say that this is Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive eternal life. Now, why? Because eternal life and Jesus Christ is inseparable. You cannot separate one from the other. That's why Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why? He's eternal. Once he has given you eternal life, that is forever. You can't get it, lose it, get it, lose it, get it, lose it, any more than you can earn it in order to get it. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Listen to it now. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest what? Any man should boast. If you had a part of it, you'd be boasting on it. And that's how come when you say, if you were to die today, if I was your friend and I wanted to go to heaven, if you were to die today, you say, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Well, yes, I do. All right, so if I was your friend and I wanted to go to heaven, what would you tell me to do? Well, you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And here's a big trip for soul winners. They trip over this every single time. You ask a person, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Well, yes, I do. Many, many, many soul winners across our dear country will say, well, God bless you. I'm so glad you know. And they shake the hand and they walk away. I don't think you ought to do that. We live in a very religious nation. I'd take it a step further. So if I was your friend and I wanted to go to heaven, what would you tell me to do? Well, they say, well, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what you need to do. Well, I wouldn't leave it there if I were you, because after all, a Church of Christ people believe you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and be baptized. That's why we call them Camelites. Other people believe that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and be baptized. Jesus Christ is your Savior and be good. Jesus Christ is your Savior. Speak in tongues. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And go to church. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And hold out faithful to the end. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And that is not what the Bible says. Amen. It is Christ and Christ only. All right? And so we understand this. We understand we need to go a little bit further with our present day society. I was raised Catholic many years ago. If you would have came to me and said, do you want to become a Christian? I would say, not on your life. I heard about them. I'm happy, thank you. I was happy being a Catholic boy. I was very content. By the way, I love Catholics. I want every Catholic to become born again. But years ago, you would have asked me that because we knew there was a separation. We knew it. We knew it. And so today there is no separation. You ask anybody that's religious, unless they're in a cult, they would say, oh yes, I do believe I'll go to heaven. Well, why? Because I received Jesus as my Savior. You shake their hand very graciously, very kindly, and then you walk away saying, God bless you. But that might not be all they believe. So you ask a follow-up question. Well, that's good. I'm glad you made that decision. Is there anything else you need to do? Well, yeah, you need to be baptized. Okay, is there anything else? Well, you need to be good. Is there anything else? We need to keep at least three of the Ten Commandments. Is there anything else? Well, you need to keep the seven sacraments. Well, is there anything else? Well, you need to attend my church. Well, is there anything else? You need to be good to your neighbor. Well, is there anything else? Well, you need to tithe. Well, is there anything else? You need to live righteous before God. Well, is there anything else? Well, yeah, you need to do this, that, or the other. No, if they say anything other than Jesus Christ only, they are not saved. They are religiously confused. It's Christ and Christ only. All right, now we understand this. We understand the Bible teaches here being born again is the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in man. Statement number next, eternity is born in the new believer. Eternity is born in the new believer. The Bible speaks of eternal life. John chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible speaks of everlasting life. You know this one well, as even as a child. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the eternal life is actually the eternal one. So when I receive the eternal one, who's Jesus Christ, I then and only then receive eternal life. They are bound together. Jesus Christ and eternal life could never separate. They are inseparable. Eternal means without beginning or end. And so I received the one that was from the beginning of that which is earth. But can I tell you, he had no beginning and he has no end. It is eternal. The new life is that which is being birthed in me. I become a new creature, but that doesn't mean that it's something new, like it just now began. No, eternal life has always been in the Son. We understand, listen to it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, where it talks about a new creature. Well, that's like a new car. You go down and you go to a used car lot and you buy a car. That doesn't mean they build it right there on the lot and it's new, but it's new to you. You go down and you buy a car, if you will, and it's not a used car. It's a brand spanking new car. You can smell the leather. It speaks to you from across the parking lot and saying, buy me. And you walk up and you say, I will oblige. And you buy the car. Well, that doesn't mean that the car was manufactured right there in the parking lot for you. It's been around for, maybe 10 days, 20 days, 30 days. Maybe it's been around for a year, year and a half, and it's been sitting on that parking lot just waiting for you to be Lord to it, and then you buy it. The Holy Spirit has always been, was there evident in the beginning, and when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in you. Just because you buy a new house doesn't mean that the house was built yesterday. It's been around. This miracle of him coming in for regeneration being performed by the Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible makes it clear. John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that's your birth physically into this world, "and," it says, "of the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh." You're not going to lose your flesh. Your flesh will battle you until your dying day. It's always going to be that which is a sore. It's always going to not want to obey God. No man seeketh after God. Your flesh is not going to seek after God. You're always going to be somebody that's going to be in the battle. All right? The Bible says, "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So the Holy Spirit can help you. Over in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, it's noteworthy what Paul said, where he said this. He said, "Let this mind," listen to it now, "be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now he's speaking to a church that's very mission-minded. And he has to remind them, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." So wait a minute. Does that mean that you have to let the Holy Spirit have control of you even though he abides in you? Yeah, because man was born with a free will. You ever see somebody do this? Preacher's preaching, somebody's teaching, and you can tell they have turned him off. Oh, yeah. You know why? Because you were born with a free will. You ever see people sitting up and they're glued in? That's by choice. You are born with a free will. So that's how come Paul says to the church there at Philippi, these are saved people. By the way, he's speaking to a local church of born again, baptized believers. And he says to that local church of born again, baptized believers, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." What's he saying? He says, allow God to be able to lead you by letting him lead you in your mind as you take on the mind of Christ. All right? So the occasion, if you would please, of being born again doesn't change your flesh. That little word "let," most important throughout the Bible, you'll see it's talking about letting him, if you would please, have his will in your life. And that's how come you have people that say they're born again. Watch it now, and they go out and get drunk. They dope and they smoke. You know why? Because they've not let Christ be in them, the hope of glory. Oh, yeah, he's saved, but they're not letting his mind. They're not letting that word of God. They're not letting him direct them in their life. See, clean living's a choice. It's a choice. That's why two people can hear the same message and one go out changed, and one go out indifferent. They can hear the same message and one gets mad, and the other person gets glad. It all depends on how you're submissive to the Holy Spirit in your life. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, you know it well, says, "I beseech you," that means beg, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Last statement, the warfare is really the old nature against God. The warfare is really the old nature against God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You know, certainly one does not do an injustice to the scripture when he talks about the old nature and the new nature fighting, but that new nature is Jesus Christ. You would not have a new nature if it was not for Jesus Christ. And there is that flesh versus the spirit, the war all over again. The flesh says, hey man, let's go out there and let's watch this wrong type of lustful television program. And the Spirit of God says, no! And there's the battle. There's the battle. The flesh says, let's go over here and dope and smoke and run with all those. And the Spirit says, no! And then you feel bad after you do it. While you're doing it, there's the battle. There's the battle. That beginning is Jesus. Eternity is joined to time. The I am is joined to the I become. The everlasting is joined to the temporal. And it ought to help us to know, greater is he. Greater, stay with it. Greater, 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 greater. You got the word greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our Lord said, I'm not come to, if you will, please to take you out of the world. I'm not come for that. But the Bible says that he has come so that you and I can have the abundant life while living in this world. Right. It's all in Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, last verse I'll read, staying within my time, here's what the Bible says. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So wait a minute, is there a way that I can live for Christ? Oh yeah. Is there a way that the Holy Spirit can help me to be able to understand how blessed I am to be able to be a born-again believer and called a born-again believer? Yes. But it is still Christ, the hope of glory. And it's still the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you and you learning to rely on him. Learning to let him guide you. Oh, he's very much a part of regeneration. Because if it was not for the Holy Spirit and his regenerating power, you would never be able to be saved. But as we study the Holy Spirit in the Bible last week, you understand this, it is coupled together. Because without that which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit using the Word of God, there could never be the conversion of man. Oh, somebody says, I went to a music concert and I got saved. Oh, yeah, because somebody put the Word of God in you and it reminded you of the Word of God. And therefore, by thinking about the Word of God, you came to the understanding of who you are by way of the Holy Spirit still using that Word of God in your remembrance, whereby you came to understand your need of Christ. You cannot get saved apart from the Bible. You cannot get saved apart from the Holy Spirit. You ever see somebody and they get under strong conviction? And all of a sudden, you know, somebody gets up and they preach about salvation. Oh, they may do it by using that which is the subject matter of hell. And they preach about salvation. They grab the front of the pews until their knuckles turn white and their lips begin to quiver and their knees begin to play the tambourines. And boy, they're under strong conviction. It's showing all over them. You ever seen somebody that way? And all of a sudden now they realize, oh, I tell you what, I need to get saved. And they bow their hearts and they receive Christ as Savior. Well, how did they know they needed to be saved? All he did was read one verse. You'd be amazed what the Holy Spirit will use. If you allow him to use it. Some people used to make fun of Carl Hatch. They used to say, well, he was one of these easy believism type of fella. And I guarantee you the people that said that about Brother Hatch had no clue about how the Holy Spirit has the power to be able, yes, even to use the spoken word. Never neglect understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When it comes to the regeneration of the believer. Takes the Word of God, takes the Holy Spirit. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.